So, first of all, Dr. Posley, could you just tell me why you asked the Council of Great City Schools to conduct another review of the HR office?
One of the things that is paramount in a school district is the idea of where do people go when they come into the school district and get a job in the school district. We starts off with HR, human capital, starts there. And then if you're fortunate enough to stay in the district for a long period of time, once you retire and all those things, you go back to HR as well for that particular paperwork. But one of the things I wanted to do is to start there because that's where our talent stream lie. And so I I asked the Council of the Great City Schools to come in to do a voluntary review of what's there in order so that we can improve and do things the way that that we see fit that it needs to happen, right? So therefore, I asked the council to come in to take a review of that. And this is because we all want to get better. And it was all about getting better and moving forward. And that's what we did. The council came back with 19 recommendations. Those 19 recommendations have been, we've been working on those 19 recommendations from now. We have it all planned out of things that we're going to do right now, things that we're going to do next year, things that we're going to do the following year. And then there's a number of things that are unique that is going to be done, all three. But we have it all phased out on how it's going to happen. And I'm happy to report that we are doing some great work around phase one of what we have started with this particular work. And we are keeping the board of school directors informed on a quarterly basis around this work and how this work is progressing.
Did you have concerns with the operations in the HR office that led you to request the review?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say concerns. I'm looking at the whole, when I walked into, I'm looking at the whole organization, seeing where, number one, in order to improve academic achievement, that's my first and foremost goal, to look at how do you do that. And in order to do that, this is a business where it's all about human capital, quality teachers in every single classroom. And I'm looking at how do we get quality teachers in every single classroom of all 159 schools that are under the jurisdiction of the Milwaukee Public Schools. And looking at that, that is basically how I landed on the idea of having the council to come in to do a review so that we could see exactly what's happening.
So this is the third review in 10 years. Why do you think improvements haven't been quicker to happen in the district? Because a lot of the issues identified in the report were the same issues that were identified in 2009 and 2012.
First of all, I cannot speak about the prior two reviews because, you know, I don't have the full detail of what took place and what type of structure was in place. I can only speak for the findings of the review that I received back, the 19 recommendations, and what we have done around making sure that we move that work forward.
Leah, how long have you been in the HR office?
I've been with the district since January of 2010 through some restructuring from when I was originally hired. I officially became a part of the Office of Human Resources probably was about early 2011.
So do you have impressions of why changes haven't happened, maybe in the way that needed to happen prior to now?
So I was here for the 2012 review. I was an employment relations specialist, which is the Department of Employment Relations, which is a part of Human Resources. I was interviewed by the team at that time. we were not a significant component of that review, and unfortunately, I had never even seen the 2012 review, and so I'm not actually sure what its distribution was throughout the district at that time. That was 4 chiefs of HR ago and 3 superintendents ago, so unfortunately, I wasn't privy to any of that at the time. However, now that I am in the role to be overseeing all of HR, Dr. Posley and I are taking the council's report very seriously, and we were definitely open to all of their comments and recommendations and feedback, and we've been working very hard to create a structure for us to implement some things which are we're able to do already, some that are in progress right now, and then some that we've decided we need a little bit more time and we see coming down the road in the future. So while I can say why those weren't implemented and done, I can speak for the two of us and say that I do have the full support of Dr. Posley to implement all of the improvements that we possibly can in the nearest of futures that we can.
The school board meeting in November, where the changes to the HR department were discussed, you said something along the lines of, you know, nobody would want to be judged based on their worst day. And so I was wondering what you meant by that. And did you feel like there was anything in the assessment from the Council of Great City Schools that wasn't fair or wasn't accurate?
I am trying to remember back to that specific comment, and I know I made it. I think I was speaking more as a whole throughout the presentation. It wasn't so much necessarily what was specifically in the council's report, and then also the public testimony and some of the questions coming from the board. We are working really hard in HR to rebuild our family feel, to rebuild our culture and our environment, and to really work together as one big group of HR, not just in our small departments. And we have become very close through that process. We've had difficult conversations. We've had very pleasant and happy moments together and been celebrating things. And I think there just comes a time where I just wanted people to remember that human resources is an office. It's made up of departments, but these are all very hardworking, dedicated people who are filling those seats. And I think there needs to be some level of respect and appreciation and even kindness to the fact that we're all doing our best that we can. And on any given day, a mistake is going to happen. Maybe the best thing didn't happen. But I prefer us to be looked at as a whole on the hard work that happens and the care and attention that's given to individuals when they come through our offices, and not just those few who did unfortunately have a bad experience, which we are trying to work to correct and make sure we have those as limited as possible. But I just didn't want people to lose touch of the fact that at the end of the day, we're about 55 human beings who really do care and work hard, and we're not just the Office of Human Resources.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's people behind that title. So Dr. Posley, and is it Dr. Scopter?
No.
Is Leah? Okay.
Yes.
So was there anything in the review that you want to take this opportunity to dispute or, you know, qualify? Or do you feel like it was a fair assessment?
I think it was a very fair assessment. And this was an assessment at that moment in time back with work documents that things that they look for. This review was conducted by individuals that do this work every single day in large urban districts around America. So I understand that particular piece, and we're looking at this as a opportunity to do better and become stronger as an organization. There are some great things that we have put in place that we picked up through the review that has been encouraging and transformative and moving in the right direction for greatness.
Leah, there were stories from principals in the review about identifying a qualified candidate and then losing them because the HR process took a long time and the communication was lacking. So could you just help me understand why that would be, that the process would be slow in a way that felt, you know, unusual to the candidates, or the responsiveness wasn't there? Are there more hoops that MPS has to jump through? What logistically is happening behind the scenes? And do you have, you know, an explanation for why it would take a long time?
So one of the things that we are working to implement, and it is currently in its implementation phases, is bringing in a new applicant tracking system. And that all received approval from the board for the contract in January. And we just started working on kind of the technology side of implementing our new applicant tracking system. And we're using Frontline, which is a specific K-12 product. So they're very focused and honed in on the needs of a school district, especially when it comes to recruiting school-based staff. And so we did realize together as a team that we have a somewhat antiquated system that we're using. There's not a lot of options for customizing that system. So currently you do have to answer a lot of questions on the application. You have to upload a lot of documents, and there are not many touch points we can have through the process, through the system, to keep people in the loop of where they are in the process. So we're really excited that by the end of this fiscal year, we should be fully up and running with Frontline, which does allow an extremely streamlined application process. I think I can speak for a lot of people, including myself. You hate retyping your resume into an application where you have to put in all that detail and all that information. Unfortunately, we couldn't bypass those steps. And so right now, we definitely feel that people will be able to apply in a dramatically reduced amount of time just to submit an application. Frontline doesn't let you submit an incomplete application, so it will tell you any of the components that you're missing. And that's another area that we found of concern to people, is that they could submit an application even if they didn't meet all of the requirements of it and they didn't know that they missed something. So we're definitely hoping that that brings a lot of stability for people in knowing that they have actually submitted an application that can be reviewed and accepted. The other thing is that there are touch points at every single step of the process. We can send you communications that we received your application, that it's being reviewed by human resources, that it is now being screened for interviews. You know, unfortunately, it could tell you if you don't get an interview, but it can also tell you that you are going to be scheduled for an interview, and then send you calendar appointments to accept for that interview. And it can tell you your background check status, your physical status, all those things. We can also automatically and electronically send people letters of intent and contingent contracts, so that people feel that this is a real bona fide offer for them coming in, and that we are serious about hiring them. And I think once people receive those types of documents from an employer, they definitely feel that, okay, I just have to clear my physical still, but I know as soon as that happens, they're giving me that contract because I've already received these other significant documents from them. So we're definitely hoping that that can speed things up. Principals do have a lot of time that they get to interact with candidates too, though. They create their own interview teams, they create their own interview questions. Any staff that they're hiring is interviewed by them and that team, and they make all of those final hiring decisions. I think one of the things that we do get compared to are school districts that are neighboring us, which are exponentially smaller. So we hire about 600 to 700 teachers a year for the start of the school year. Other districts are hiring 5 or 10, maybe 20. So our numbers of hiring teachers are so dramatically different than those surrounding us. And we have 4 people who hire those teachers. They also hire multiple other categories of employees, such as paras and administrators. And then we have 2 people who hire all of the rest of our classified positions, which, just as an example, would be food service and building service and our children's health aides, things like that. So we're looking at hiring about 1,500 to 1,600 people. And unfortunately, in a school district, that isn't evenly spread out across a whole year. Almost 80% of it happens mostly from April through about July. So we have 6 people who are responsible for bringing in huge numbers of staff into the district. And unfortunately, while we do the best we can with making sure we're having as many personal touch points as possible, sometimes, you know, just sheer volume can impact the quickness of those responses. So we are very excited about that coming down the line for us. We have also made some changes to the actual talent management department, and I did speak to those at that November board meeting that you mentioned, where I did cut some other positions in talent management to bring in 4 additional assistants so that we could see some improved response time to phone calls, emails, and processing documents. They were all up and running by November, mid to late November, and they were all new to the district, which is very exciting, but also meant that they required training to become able to help us the most effectively. And we have received a lot of positive response from hiring managers and principals and people just coming in and out of the office that they are noticing that increased help through the process. The other thing that we did was shorten the amount of time for the physical screening that we do. So we have moved to 1 day of a physical appointment, where before you used to have to go back for a secondary appointment 2 days later. So we definitely feel that that change, which was just made towards the beginning of fall of this school year, has also seen an increase in the turnaround time for people to come through the district. But we are hopeful for the future, and it's something that we're constantly paying attention to, is the turnaround time for anyone to make it through the process.
And one thing I wanted to add with that particular, we have a regional system of support that's set up, and all of the regions have HR staff attached to them to help to gear and stay focused on the vacancies that exist in a school and the process, working cross-functional with in cross-office from the Office of School Administration with HR to track all applicants at all times, all vacancies, to make sure that we have a true vacancy, and they see that from start to finish. So they're constantly interfacing with that particular group, and there's ongoing touch points with the regional superintendent, the principal, as well as HR around those areas.
So 4 people in charge of hiring 600 to 700 teachers and 2 people in charge of hiring the rest of the classified staff. Do you think that that's an adequate amount of staffing for the hiring staff?
At this point in time, yes. And we could always stand for. It just depends on how we look at this, because we also, something that we did was we kind of made a bifurcated approach when it comes to talent management. And the HR function is doing more of the transactional kind of piece, and then the transformational kind of stuff is done in organizational development. And what I mean by that is HR is taking care a lot of the paperwork, the application, those kinds of things, but the actual onboarding and those kinds of things that are taking place is taking place in the Office of Organizational Development. That's one of the things that the council asked me as an individual question: if a teacher is not successful in this district, is it an HR function or is it an academic function? And at the end of the day, it's more of an academic function. Because once HR has taken care of all of the legwork, the initial work that takes place, getting them ready to contract, application process, all of those kinds of things, Then as far as retaining that employee, it's on the academic side, because when a teacher exit the district, they don't usually come, when we look at our notes, they don't usually come and say, well, I didn't like HR. It was the idea of what happened in the experience they had out at the school as a teacher, and how could we have better supported them and put safety nets around them to be successful. So what we have done is, through this report, we have the Office of Organizational Development. Their responsibility is, number one, the onboarding. An orientation we did 3 days this year. You know, before you can go into any classroom in the district, you go through this 3-day orientations where we talk about the curriculum that it's going to be taught. We talk about all of the different things that we're going to do around our student interactions with behavior, with attendance, and those kinds of things. Go through that particular piece. We give them a day on things in HR, such as their benefits and all of those kinds of things that are out there, and how to be successful in this work. So all of the type of training that we provide, or professional development opportunities we provide on an ongoing basis, we bring our staff up to speed first before now taking them out to introduce them to the staff. And then along with that is a caveat where the principal now have to pick the same piece up around orientation and nurturing and making sure that this person is successful. So that's how we plan to retain great talent.
You're talking about when a teacher leaves and why they might leave. And I spoke with a teacher who quit his job earlier this month in February. And he said that he went into the HR department to hand in his resignation and ask, you know, what I need to do to make this official. And he described the exit process as cold. He was handed a sheet where he could check a box about his reason for leaving, and there were a few lines to say more if he chose to. But there wasn't a conversation of, what can we do to keep you here? Why are you leaving? So is the exit interview or survey process going to change? Has it changed?
So as a part of this new system that we're bringing in, we are able to have an electronic online exit survey for people to complete. Right now, unfortunately, it is just a piece of paper, and we manually put that into an Excel document for tracking purposes. So we do hope that that can be automatically sent to people, that they can just find it themselves if they're looking for it. But we will also be very interested in making sure that we're actively sending it out to folks. We're also looking to ask more questions, more pointed questions. But one of the things on that form that it does say to you is that we would like to speak with you. And if you are willing to speak with us, you know, check yes here and leave your contact number. And we call every single person back or meet with them in person if they have requested an in-person or even via a phone call exit interview. Most people actually do check no on that. They'd rather just write. Some people do attach, you know, lengthy documents to kind of explain anything that they'd like us to know. If somebody were to contact the person that hired them, people maintain relationships with the talent management specialist that hired them. We often have people coming in asking to speak specifically to that person, and they will try to work with them to figure out another plan other than exiting the district. But, you know, unfortunately for this gentleman, we would have been happy to talk to him had he just mention that or check that on the form. He would have been given an in-person or phone interview, and we do that pretty frequently. And during that process, if we are able to find something else in the district that suits your needs, or able to provide you with those other supports that maybe you thought you weren't able to access as easily as possible. We will get you in line with anyone in the district who can provide those supports. And we actually do that frequently for the people who do request it.
And customer service is one of the big things for us. And that was one of the transitions that were made. We made sure that we had individuals at the front desk that was, with great customer service skills. And we have looked at this whole thing around customer service training. One of the things that I am big on is the idea of the secret shopper. I have individuals that go in all around this district and shop certain things. They go into HR to find out. They call to HR and ask various things. And I get
like undercover type?
Absolutely. And I get a report of what that's, the detail of what was said. They don't know who this person is. And this person does this all day long around this district. And that's one of the things that we want to pride ourselves on is customer service, great customer service. And that is something that we exemplify. That is something that you will see when you go in HR or any other department throughout the district. And that is something that we have talked to all of our school leaders about is great customer services, customer service, because that's what people, the first impression of you is what they get. And, and we want to treat everyone with dignity and respect, and we will always get back to you.
So I just want to clarify, you have to opt into the in-person exit interview if you choose, but it's not the sort of thing where it automatically would happen.
Yes, right now we don't provide automatic exit interviews. We, once again, being a large district of 10,000 employees, for as many people as we hire every year, that same amount of people are also exiting every year. And so we do ask for people to request an in-person or a phone exit interview. And like I said, most people have kind of made up their mind and they don't want that from us. But we're hoping that with the exit survey being electronic and being able to generate responses and then emails back to the talent management specialist who handles that region of school that they left, that we would be able to be more interactive with people as they're exiting. Right now, your resignation or retirement paperwork goes to a different part of HR and not the people who actually recruited you or brought you into the district for that. So we're definitely hoping in our new system that that will automatically be transferred to all the people in the district who could be a benefit of helping you through that situation and possibly changing your mind or at least making you feel supported in your decision.
So another thing that the report talked about was using data from things like the exit surveys to drive decision-making and changes in the district. What's the plan to use data from exit surveys and interviews to improve things for staff?
I'll start it off and I'll allow Leah to complete. One of the things that we did this summer was to take a look at all of the exit surveys, the reason why people were leaving the district. And once we looked at that, we looked at building in safety nets so that people don't leave for those reasons. One of the things that that jumped out was this whole thing around not being correctly placed as a teacher. So what we have done now is that it's automatic when a person that's facing some kind of difficulty at, a location, the talent management staff will bring those individuals in and talk with those individuals and see, do we have another fit somewhere within the district that meets their needs? And, a number of times that work. So we're looking at those kinds of things and drilling down to get there. And Leah, you can elaborate on any of those things.
I think I forgot your original question now.
just using data like the exit surveys, what's the plan to use that to implement changes?
Yes, so in Human Resources, we are gathering the information and we do share it with the senior cabinet and also the regional superintendents and school administration. However, as recommended in the report, this is, you know, coming in the future, looking at not only having our exit surveys be more electronic and reportable. As I said, right now, they're just on paper, so we have some limitations there. But once we have our exit surveys in the electronic format that we can kind of parse data differently and to better meet our needs with what that data is. I'm also looking at implementing stay interviews in the district where we send out surveys and hold interviews with people who are currently working in the district who choose to work and stay in the district at different intervals of time. I haven't exactly figured out what those are, but new teacher, mid-career, and more tenured senior teachers to hit those different groups. For us to really find out why it is that not only are people leaving, but why is it that people are staying? And then after a year or two of data coming in from those two documents, putting together a more comprehensive report about what it is that we're finding out from that data. And then as a senior cabinet, determining what are we doing now with that data and implementing to make sure that we're taking full advantage of the reasons why people stay and making sure that those things are known and available to everybody in the district, not just the people who are choosing to stay because of them.
One of the lines of the report that stood out to me was, it's not clear the district knows who its best talent is. What is MPS doing to try to fix that, to be more aware of the really great teachers and how to maybe build up more good teachers and keep them here in the district?
One of the things that I would say that we're doing around that particular piece is this whole thing that we're doing around professional development. We went in a new direction this year when it came to professional development. And in the years past, what we were doing was providing professional development and ongoing professional development for the principal, the assistant principal, the SST, and then they are taking this trainer-to-trainer model, and they take it back to the school and implement it at the school. So what we decided to do this year is do that same structure, but also open up an opportunity for Saturday type of academies where they can come in on Saturdays to do some of those kinds of things. And then a learning management system with all of the PD that we provide to principals and school leaders, they have an opportunity that they can go out and plug in. If I want to send all of my third grade teachers to get that particular professional development during the week, they can just do just that. And what that has spun into is the idea that we also have this year professional development days that we have set aside, you know, quarterly, where we take our talent, our outstanding teachers that are doing great things in their schools, and they are working side by side with administration, leading professional development district-wide for all of the elementary schools. All of the middle and high schools have their individuals, and it's based on areas of expertise. So we are looking at how you, and I just was at recently at one of the outstanding ones that we had over at Milwaukee School of Languages for social studies. And we had all of these teachers and administrators, and they were all in a room together, and you wouldn't, you didn't know who the teacher were compared to who the administrator were, but it was just the idea of a wealth of talent in a room moving the academic needle forward for young people in this district and preparing everyone to be prepared.
And then also, HR does work very closely with organizational development and our MPS University, and we have dramatically increased the amount of programming and courses and licensure programs that we offer in the district. And managers and principals and assistant principals are constantly reaching out to tell us about great paraprofessionals or secretaries or aides, even building service helpers that they know and work within their buildings, to recommend them into these teacher licensure programs to help now actually affect children in a different way than they were in their previous role. And so we've been really pleased with the fact that our managers and school principals are really paying attention to tapping into the potential of their non-teaching staff and really recognizing their great relationships with the kids. And then also for like a paraprofessional who's actually a part of an instructional day, really realizing that this right here in front of me is a great teacher, and this district is ready and willing to support them in their career advancement that way.
I talked to David Palmer, who was the, are you trying to get my attention? Okay. who was the principal investigator on this review. And he said that a lot of the issues identified are not unique to MPS. But there were two things that stood out to him that were somewhat unusual. One is that this is the third review and a lot of the same problems still exist. And the other one was the amount of work that principals said they had to put in to moving the process along with hiring staff. And the other one was the number of interim people in the HR department. So I think that we've talked about a couple of those, but do you want to speak to any of those three things that he said were especially unusual about MPS?
One of the things that I shared with you as far as previous reviews, I can't speak to. But as far as this review, I can 100% assure you that progress is being made there, and I have results to show that particular piece, what's taking place there.
What are those results?
Those results are just a number of different things that I could just go through the list and kind of talk about things that was identified that is not there. We have reorganized the office. We have bifurcated the office on when it comes to organizational development and human resources. There you talked about the evaluation piece. All evaluations are being implemented. It talked about operating manuals and things of this nature. They are all, we have gotten those up and running and out the door on a lot of cases there. There is, what am I missing here?
So we were able to implement an evaluation system district-wide. Our teaching staff has been evaluated every year through the Educator Effectiveness System, but others in the district were not being evaluated on a regular
including
schedule.
In the HR department itself or HR office itself.
Right, yes. We were not evaluating ourselves, nor were other people at central office or in non-certificated positions being evaluated. So we were able to roll that out this year in training all of the management level staff to be able to implement evaluations for everyone in their reporting structure. So not only will I be getting evaluated, but everyone in HR will also be getting evaluated as well. And we do hope that that then can provide the foundation for really having a better understanding of where people are in their performance and abilities without any of those formal things being done in a public sector environment. We don't really, you know, take negative action against folks if we don't have proper documentation and review of those things. The other thing is that we are currently just wrapping up reviewing every single job description in the district to make sure that it's current and up to date and that it's being shared with every single employee for them to review and sign off on. And we're pretty excited about that. And that way we're also making sure that we're staying current in what all of the new work is out there. We've also been recruiting at much more increased levels than ever before. We're finding a ton of success in hosting our own job fairs. One of the nice things about being a school district is we have all of these large buildings that are available to us at no cost that we can hold our own events. And we're seeing anywhere between 230 and 400 people coming through our job fairs, and large percentages of those folks are actually applying for positions in the district. And we've started implementing on-site interviews, and we have enough computers set up for everyone to apply right there with our assistance, and we'll upload anything you need attached to your application for you. So we found a lot of success in that, and it also gives people a very personalized experience to the application process, since they're coming in, meeting the schools, meeting those hiring managers, meeting us, and getting that assistance through the process. And we're definitely staying up and current with them. So we definitely are excited about those things that have come. And really, at the end of the day, we're hoping to expedite our hiring process. We're hoping to have people feel that they have been appropriately communicated with during the hiring process, and that once they are hired, that we're appropriately transitioning them over to all of the various groups in the district that can provide the trainings and supports that they need. And then at the end of the day, if we can become as efficient and successful in that, we do expect to see the best people in front of our kids providing the best education, which at the end of the day is our overall mission of improving that overall student achievement. I was a teacher before I entered the HR and employment world, and to me, since I've come over to this position and in my former one in employment relations, it's just really critical for me to remind people on a regular basis that even though we're at Vleet Street and we mostly communicate with adults, we don't interact with kids as much. We're definitely here to support the employees and the possible hopeful employees of the district, that we're constantly reminding ourselves that we're not just doing HR, we're doing HR in a school district, and in a school district that really needs us to be working the best and most efficiently and effectively that we can to get people in front of the kids. And I'm not demeaning any other professions or organizations out there, but at the end of the day, this is probably the most important work that's out there in my mind, and probably in anyone's mind who works in the school district. And we do take that seriously, and I try to make sure that we're constantly remembering who our most precious people are, that we're not just hiring a person, or we don't just have 20 vacancies, or we're not just processing an application or redacting a resume, that there is an ultimate goal that's a little human being. So,
and I just want to add, because there's just so much work has gone into this, and we talk about changes to the civil service exam that has been done, the frontline application tracking system that we have put into place and going through right now, physical screening, you know, when people come in there and they got bogged down with going to get their physical, we got that taken care. The new Educator Institute, I talked to you about that, that's the orientation piece. Onboarding of classified staff in the department, training and onboarding, we were working through that. Exit surveys that will be a part of that particular piece that we're working on, job descriptions that Leah talked about, compensation manual that is there, the evaluation piece, as well as the MPSU and alternative pathways of how we get teachers and those kinds of things to happen, labor management meetings, ongoing meetings. We are able to track our monthly and quarterly meetings, weekly meetings that has taken place. And then also to, and I'm constantly meeting with the deputy as well as the chiefs around this particular work. And we have brought in a deputy superintendent with the background to support us in the area on the business side of the house, who's taking care of, yes, who's taking care of finance and HR, which is Calvin Furman. And we are tracking and tracking recruitment. We have a number of recruitment fairs that we have had this year, record number for here in the city, as well as traveling abroad, as well as going to all of the HBCUs. So we have a robust plan. And then there's all kinds of things that's going to happen the upcoming year, followed in the third year. And at the goal is some of these things that we're going to be doing is going to be ongoing type of things that is going to be all over all 3 years.
Is this something I could get a copy of?
No, these are my working notes.
It would be great if I could get like a list with the changes that have already happened, the changes that are in progress, and the plans in upcoming years to implement the changes that are highlighted in the review. So
we will work with you.
Okay. So Dr. Posley, this is a third review, as we've said, in 10 years. And I think when people read this review, they might be worried about the district's competence when it comes to recruiting and retaining great teachers. And so how do you plan to measure success and stay accountable to the public? Because this does come down to the students.
At the end of the day, we're in the business of teaching and learning. Student outcomes, academic achievement is our core business. This is our existing business. We would not be here if it wasn't for that. So the outcome is going to see when we move the academic needle, we know that we have the right people on the bus. And we know that we're traveling in the right direction. So that's going to be the product of results around academic achievement. We're seeing this on a daily basis. We have a robust academic plan in place, Ambitious Instruction 2.0, where we focused in on our math, reading, and writing every single day, pushing that and making that happen, and also making sure that our teachers are prepared around staff development and what they need in order to be successful. And once those kinds of things are in place, the results will speak for itself.
So you're hoping that these improvements to the efficiency and effectiveness of the HR department will show up in students' academic outcomes?
They will show up in student outcomes.
What is the status of hiring a permanent HR chief? Leah, have you been an interim since September 2018? That's my understanding. What's the status of that?
The status of that particular piece, we are getting to that stage. There's work that we're constantly doing. We're hands-on making it happen, a number of these different things. We wanted to take a look at this report, this review, and work through that particular review. Leah does not look at this from an interim standpoint. Leah look at this from day-to-day as work that we do that we have to do for children in this city.
The review did say, though, that because there are so many interim people in this department, that there's a fear of rocking the boat and making big changes.
That is, I will say to you, one of the things that I've done, I have brought in a deputy superintendent. I just talked to you about that, Kevin Furman, who has expert in this area, the working with this with human resources, and by no means that there's any fear of rocking the boat. We are rocking the boat every single day, and we will continue to rock the boat until children receive what they need.
Do you have a date in mind for bringing on a permanent chief?
No, I don't have a date in mind, but it's just the idea that I will make a recommendation to the Milwaukee Board of School Directors, and they will work with us with that.
I appreciate it. It's a somewhat awkward question. Leah, was there something you wanted to say?
Just if I could go back to how we're going to measure ourselves. One of the nice components that we have in Frontline is the ability to customize I'll call it a customer satisfaction survey, and that would automatically then go out to every person who has gone through our application process. And so once we can get that implemented, we will be able to collect feedback from every single person who's gone through our process. As of right now, we're kind of just reliant on somebody sending an email or making a phone call, and we don't have the ability to actually collect data from every single person. So we're also kind of looking forward to that ability to get feedback from everyone who's willing to take it. To help us monitor at least the customer aspect of going through our process.
How much time do we have?
Note just said 3 o'clock is here, so
okay.
We're at our time.
If there's just one more thing, I think. Dr. Posley, are you planning to bring the council back for a follow-up review within a year or two?
That is something that we are looking at now. My goal, and I have talked to the council, one of the things that there's a number of different schools in the council, and they do the same type of work in all of the schools around the council schools. And one of the things I would like to do is to bring them back in again at the end of this year to look at progress and see, you know, what we have done. However, limited focus on looking at the 19 areas that recommendations that were made, because I know for a fact that we are implementing, and I just want, would love to have them to come back in to do just that.
And one note that I want to add is, to get the full review, I had to put in a public records request. And so I was just wondering why that wasn't included in the information when it was discussed with the school board, why the full review wasn't included.
If that's something you're aware of.
What do you mean the full review? Basically, what
the full review from the Council of Great City Schools, the information that was included in the school board agenda for that day was a PowerPoint presentation about the changes happening, but the review itself was not included.
Our goal was to focus on the 19 areas, the 19 recommendations that was rendered to us. And that's what we have been laser focused on ever since we received a report back. We have made that.
But you do make statements about being transparent and accountable to the public, and even in the flow chart, it has the citizens of Milwaukee as the people that you're answering to above the whole district. So that's just something that I would ask, you know, in terms of transparency and accountability, when there is a document like this, I think one way to show that you are real when you're saying that you want to be transparent is you know, including it in the school board agenda if it's going to be discussed by the school board.
That's fair. And one of my five priorities being transparent and open to all key stakeholders. And that is something that I thank you for. And the idea of my goal that night and going forward is to implement and rectify situations that we have that is not working and conducive to the betterment of young people. And so that's my laser focus around that particular piece. By no means did we try to be non-transparent about it. It's just the idea, this is the work that we're going to be working on and how our work was focused. And that's where we went. And by all means, we are open and want you and anyone else to have this report. And any type of feedback that you or anyone else can provide to us to make things better for young people, that's what we're looking for.
Okay. Thank you.